Hello and welcome to the Around the Nation podcast for the week of September 24th, 2007. I'm Pack Holman.
And I'm Keith McMillan.
And we're here with our take on week four of the Division III football season. Good games this weekend as always, but we open with three teams making statements, one of them being Alfred, which put up another big offensive week, Keith, in beating Springfield 37-7.
Yeah, absolutely. They got off to that 21-0 start at halftime, then returned the second half kickoff, 88 yards for a touchdown. Sakobe Riley was the guy that ran it back to go up 28-0 and really put Springfield behind the eight ball, of course, because such a running offense, it's kind of hard for them to pass their way back into the game.
Not built to rally from behind, and Chris Sharp didn't exactly have his sharpest day either.
No, he came into the game second in the nation, averaging 183 rushing yards a game. He did carry 22 times for 106 yards, but only completed one pass for 15 yards. Springfield limited to 272 yards offense overall, not enough to get it done against an Alfred team that's turning out to have a really big offense.
Alfred, 34 points in week two, their first game, 49 points the week after, 37 points this week. They enter the top 25 poll at number 22 this week. Going back to a game on Friday night, Rowan is a team a lot of people had doubts about, and they gave their freshman quarterback another start, and it sure paid off.
Tim Haggerty rushed for two touchdowns, passed for two more, and Rowan blew out Widener 41-0, which is something that I don't think we expected, given that both of these teams had come in with high expectations, struggled a little bit, but had been in. You know, Rowan had been in two tight games, losing one to Christopher Newport and winning against Wilkes.
Another bad week for the Middle Atlantic Conference, which has four teams at the bottom at 0-3, including Delaware Valley, Lycoming, Wilkes, and Kings. I mean, those are teams that, you know, traditionally you figure to have a pretty decent out-of-conference schedule, teams you figure to win six or seven games. It seems like the opening up of the MAC schedule hasn't done a whole lot for that conference in terms of wins and losses.
No, actually, it hasn't, because even though it lost three teams, gone from 11 teams to eight, and it didn't lose its power teams by opening up that schedule. You had to play the tough teams out of the New Jersey Athletic Conference, Empire 8, ACFC, different conferences in the East, and they got themselves into a situation probably in a year where their teams aren't as strong all around, and it hasn't paid off for them early.
We're going to stick around the East region for a little bit. Wesley continues to run the gauntlet. They had a first-time starting quarterback this season, starting off with five consecutive weeks against playoff-quality competition. Maybe not teams that are all going to be in the playoffs in 2007, but all have been there in the recent past or have the potential to get there pretty soon. And Montclair State gave Wesley their first loss.
Yeah, this is the first week that schedule came back to bite them, and certainly when you play a schedule like that, Wesley only having five conference games, not really in position to be picky and choosy about who they schedule, and they took the games that they took against North Carolina Wesleyan, Widener, Delaware Valley, and now Montclair State, and then they play Huntington out of Alabama next week. They took those five games, I think part to get a challenge, but in part just to make sure they had 10 games, and Montclair State, great offensive first half, and then returned the second half kickoff, 89 yards for a touchdown. A guy named Jeff Bliss, sophomore, did it, and then the defense made it stand up, which was really impressive.
All the way through to the last, Montclair's last snap, they took an intentional safety, survived the free kick and a Hail Mary attempt by Wesley. So if you're going to a Wesley game, be sure you get back from halftime, get in your seats for that second half kickoff, because in all four games, whoever's received the second half kickoff has returned it for six. Heading off of the East Coast for a little bit, a bit of a surprise under the lights in Naperville, Illinois, where Wash U, who had gotten blown out by Wheaton earlier in the season, came back to kind of take one from Wheaton's conference rival, North Central.
Yeah, I'm sure Wheaton's pretty happy with that. Not only do they get to beat them, but they get to see one of their teams, one of their rivals, lose. Seemed like to me, just by looking at the box score from this game, was that one of those games where North Central built a little bit of a lead in the first half, but didn't build a big enough lead. 10-0 at the half. Wash U scores 16 points in the second half, all 16 of their points. Scored on a 14-yard touchdown pass from Buck Smith to Joe Lubelski with 2:17 left. And Wash U managed to win this game, rushing for negative 1 yard.
Yeah, 52 pass attempts for Buck Smith. Not the Wash U offense that we've seen in recent years. A bit of a change and a victory and a win against a ranked team. North Central drops from 14 to 25. Heading out west, which is what Wisconsin Stout did last year, you know, this game was pretty darn good as well. The Whitworth had to make a desperation drive in the last minute and pouring down rain in Menominee, Wisconsin, then had to go to two overtimes before winning that game after Stout missed an extra point in the wet, and this year didn't seem like Whitworth would be able to top that ending, but it pretty much came down that way.
Well, Pat, we talked about on that Friday preview in the Daily Dose on our blog, about teams that wouldn't be able to top their fantastic finish, and it looks like Whitworth did that as Corey Kemp passed to Jay Tully as time expired for the game-winning touchdown, beat Stout 23-21. In a they drove the last minute seven of the game for that winning drive. Last year, Tully also made a catch with 3 seconds left to force that game into overtime.
Well, that's why we didn't pick that as one of our fantastic finishes that wouldn't be topped. One of the games that did turn out to finish in a pretty fantastic manner, RPI travels to Hobart. RPI getting its first test of the year and coming up with a victory.
Well, not only that, they're in really good position, I think, in the Liberty League, because Rochester and Union haven't got off to those great starts. Union beating Rochester this week in the first Liberty League game for those two, but now RPI pretty much seems like in the driver's seat.
Some quick hits on week four. NESCAC gets underway for the first time this season, and Williams, which refused to schedule Bowdoin in the annual scrimmage for the last two seasons, maybe that comes back to bite him a little bit.
Well, this is Bowdoin's first victory over Williams since 1979, maybe not playing every year. But Williams also lost their 14-game winning streak, which for the NESCAC is about a season, almost two full seasons since Williams had lost. And they had eight turnovers, apparently, in the second half in the 28-14 loss. That'll beat you.
If you look at the Hampton-Sydney-Guilford score, the first thing I think is Ben Strong, 11 for 17 from the floor, 12 rebounds, 3 blocked shots. But, in fact, it turns out that that's a football score.
Yeah, 56-49, Hampton-Sydney won. And we said it this week, Pat. We said, you know, we know Guilford has the offense, but do they have the defense to stop anybody? And if this week answered that question, the answer is no. Because Hampton-Sydney had 678 yards of total offense. Guilford had 674 yards of total offense, but 592 of those yards were passing from Josh Vogelbach.
Tough week to schedule a top three team, huh?
Well, absolutely. Mountain Union, Mary Hardin-Baylor, Whitewater, all posting shutouts this weekend.
One of the other storylines that we've been following over the last couple years is the continued cardiac seasons of the Central Dutch, and another big game like that on Saturday.
Well, Central's made a habit of being a team that sort of finds a way to win, whether it's defense, touchdown, block, punt, you know, running the ball, whatever they need to do, they sort of find a way to win. Outgained for the third consecutive week, but they managed to beat Laura 17-14.
Big games coming up this week in Week 5. Of course, a top 10 matchup between two of the teams that we figure the Wisconsin Conference is going to come down to in the end.
Yeah, certainly a lot of competition out in that conference. A lot of teams off to good starts. But I think these are the two teams, Whitewater and La Crosse, number 3 and number 7, that everybody has been expecting to be the two teams in the Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference this year. La Crosse, I don't think they'll forget last year, the first game, the regular season game, not the playoff game, but the game that got out of hand a little bit during the season. Whitewater beat them 45-10. Justin Beaver rushing for more than 280 yards against them. That has to be in the back of their minds as they host this weekend.
A traditional game in the Old Dominion Athletic Conference as Bridgewater goes back to Hampton-Sydney. Hampton-Sydney certainly been putting points up on the board, but didn't do a whole lot on defense against Guilford.
Yeah, and they'll have to do it against Bridgewater. Bridgewater hasn't really been tested. If you look at some of the opponents they played, Shenandoah, Ferrum, LaGrange, this is going to be maybe their first game. Yeah, McDaniel being the fourth opponent that they played. This is really going to be their first game where they have to really put a great game together.
Elsewhere in the Southern Collegiate Athletic Conference, Millsaps at DePauw.
A couple of teams who are going to be in the running right there along with Trinity, Texas in the Southern Collegiate Athletic Conference.
Dickinson at Moravian. I know you've been high on Moravian from pretty much the start of the year. They both come into this game 4-0 and a pretty big test in the new-look Centennial Conference.
Exactly. You got the brand-new team, new to the conference in Moravian. You have Dickinson, who was the playoff representative from Centennial last year.
Another game in which the Ohio Athletic Conference might shake out a little bit. John Carroll lost at Ohio Northern this week. This week they host 10th-ranked Baldwin-Wallace.
Yeah, and Baldwin-Wallace have been tremendous on defense so far. It's going to be tough for John Carroll to score some points.
13th-ranked Wartburg at Dubuque. Maybe this didn't look like a big game at the beginning of the season, but they both come in undefeated.
Well, Dubuque beat Wartburg last year in the last weekend, maybe knocking Wartburg out of a playoff chance. They might not have been able to make it anyway, but beat them in overtime, knocked them down to 8-2. Now Wartburg goes to Dubuque with a little extra offensive firepower and coming in really not having been tested.
Mississippi College is unbeaten. They host Hardin-Simmons. Hardin-Simmons is 1-2. Finally got a first win this past weekend, though.
Yeah, looking at that final score, you may think 41-34 was another shootout for Hardin-Simmons, but they led 41-20 with about 6 minutes to go, and two touchdowns scored on the backups, and Harden Simmons had to bring the first defense on just to get a couple stops, to get the final stop, which is something that they hadn't done so well in their first couple games.
Other games this weekend: Williams is at Trinity of Connecticut, Huntington at Wesley, as we mentioned before, Wisconsin, Eau Claire at Wisconsin, Oshkosh, and Keith, I just want to get your favorite Widener-Lycoming memory.
It's got to be 50-49 when they missed the extra point, I think. Something happened on the extra point in overtime, 50-49, about 5 years ago.
My favorite is the incredible reenactment of the miracle in the mud that we saw at Chester, Pennsylvania back in 2002. That's our Around the Nation podcast for week 4. Check out more Around the Nation with Keith McMillan's column on Thursdays.